Jason Leisure's still here.
Hello.
Jason Leisure.
I will fight Chris Emma in Starbucks. I will fight him in a Panera, a Dunkin' Donuts, a Quiznos, a White Hen, a Schlotsky's. Name the time, name the place. I'll be there, Chris Emma.
Sounds good.
There's reporter for the Chicago Sun-Times.
I know if I write something really critical, I'm back in there next day and I will see that person face to face. So I better write responsibly. That doesn't mean pull punches.
No.
But that means what you write needs to be well supported, and it shouldn't be something that you'd have a problem saying to that person's face.
Jason Leisure.
How many random text messages I get from people saying, why does Jason Leisure want to fight you? And I can't even explain it. It's better without context, so I enjoy it as well.
Also, when's that going to happen?
Maybe it's bye week, like week five bye week. We could schedule for that. Maybe Aaron Sluggers.
Yeah, we could definitely set up a ring here.
Jason Leisure with Spiegel and Holmes on 670 The Score.
Yeah, let's talk with Jason Leisure because he has been doing some great work for the Sun-Times covering your favorite football team. He joins us now on the Circa Sports Illinois hotline. Download the Circa app today. Hey, Jason, how are you?
What's going on? What's up, guys? Speaks, welcome back.
Hey, thanks, buddy. And as much as I would like to talk about the radio stunt possibilities of you versus Chris Emma at the bye week, I think we should go right to the Bears news of the day, because there is a lot. We've texted the three of us about the absurdity of last year's captains and how that all worked out.
Mm-hmm.
And we've got seemingly a much more...
It returned to normal.
Normal is mm-hmm. definitely the word that comes to mind. Tell people who the captains are and tell people your thoughts on the way that this was explained to you today by Ben Johnson.
So it's player vote, and it is this is reasonable to me, Spiegs, is two guys on offense, two guys on defense, one guy on special teams, which is Cairo Santos. I don't think they had anybody from special teams that was a captain last year. So on offense, it's pretty obvious. Caleb Williams should be a captain. If he can't be, then you have probably some significant problems. And Joe Tooney is an obvious choice, a four-time Super Bowl winner, multiple All-Pro veteran. And then on the other side, you've got Grady Jarrett, who has a similar resume to Tooney, not quite at Tooney's level, at defensive tackle. And Kevin Byard, who also has that type of resume, multiple All-Pro selections, 10 years in the league. And then Cairo Santos is your special teams captain.
That makes a lot of sense to me. There are guys that had their captaincy and Captain C pulled off of their jersey. How do you think they're going to handle that?
I don't think anybody at Hallis Hall is making complaints about really anything that Ben Johnson is doing right now. I kind of joke with Spiegs a lot on group text about his fixation with the eight captains and how that was one of the problems. But, I mean, the fact is, everything you've been doing, the whole way you've been doing things, if you're the Bears, has gotten you nowhere. So when the new guy comes in and says, hey, it's only going to be this many captains, and here's how we're going to pick them, you just don't get to argue about anything. If Ben Johnson comes in and changes the ice cream in the soft serve machine, you're like, well, we might as well try it, because what we've been doing hasn't worked.
Well, look, to be clear, the reason I was so hung up on the captaincy and the Captain C being as spread out as it was last year is that it spoke to the rudderlessness of leadership. It spoke to the fear in the defensive coordinator who was acting like a head coach but knew deep down he was not worth being a head coach. And your profile this weekend in the Sun-Times speaks to the vast difference here, which is that Ben Johnson is a truth teller, and that Ben Johnson is going to lay it plain and simple for you. So there should be no pushback. Dude is setting a culture, and everybody knows it. So you think that process will be respected? And you know, to Lawrence's point, Jalen Johnson's not going to be upset. DJ Moore is not going to be upset, in your opinion.
I think that if any of those guys go to Ben Johnson and say, hey, how come I'm not a captain? A, he points at the player vote for it. And B, I think he would tell him exactly why. Mm-hmm. I think at this state, we can only grade Ben Johnson on what he's done so far. He can't win the Super Bowl today, September 2nd. So we can only grade where what he's done so far, where he's at now, and everything about the way he has handled things has indicated that he is a guy who just shoots straight with everybody. Behind closed doors, at the microphone, whatever, he is going to just tell you the facts. And that, to him, is all it is. These are just the facts. DJ Moore, you're not a good choice for a team captain at this stage because of all the body language and histrionics. That's not a good look for a team captain. And if you're DJ Moore and you don't like hearing that, which, by the way, DJ Moore seemed, there was Patrick Finley had a story from an interview with DJ Moore that was in the paper, I think, yesterday morning. DJ Moore is very receptive. But if he or anyone else isn't to what Ben Johnson is saying, you know, then I think they're probably going to be on their way out because the Bears are so clearly going to do things Ben Johnson's way right now.
Yeah, and that's kind of where we're all at and trying to find out how he's going to impact it. And you're right, we can't judge and we won't know. I was looking at a quote from one of your pieces and we won't know how he's going to react after losses. Like, those are still things that we have to figure out if he'll be as transparent with it so far. But so far, I've enjoyed his honesty. And even when I haven't liked necessarily what he's being honest about, like the left tackle position, where he was very honest and someone has to take this job. Them naming Braxton Jones as left tackle today, does that feel like Braxton Jones took it? Or was he just the best possible choice out of a group of not so great choices?
He was the best possible choice because he's played 3 years. He's got 40 starts. The other three guys, Benedet, Amagaji, and Trapillo, have a combined one NFL start. And it was Karan Amagaji's disaster start against the Vikings last year. So I appreciate, though, the transparency with Ben Johnson from the start, saying all along, hey, I'm not happy with this. Our offensive line looks good except for this. This is not, you know, don't tell us that it's good when we're watching all the time seeing that it's bad. And then him saying, basically, there's going to be a guy, he said this, I think, last week, there's going to be a guy picked to start, and that's going to be evaluated pretty much constantly. And he hinted, he kind of implied that the real big reassessment was going to be at the bye week after they've played four games. So for Braxton Jones, and I talked to Braxton about this today, it is an audition. It is really a 1-4 game audition, depending on how things are going. If he's showing a good trajectory, he's going to get the full four games. And if things look really solid for him after four games, and they look like they're clearly headed the right way, then it will be his job the rest of the way. But if it's not, they've got other guys that they did try in training camp and probably will try going forward.
Jason Leisure is joining us here on the Spiegel and Holmes Show. Wrote a great piece on Ben Johnson over the weekend in the Sun-Times and one on Caleb Williams that we'll get to in a minute. But let me zoom out with the two of you guys, okay? When you go on vacation like I did and you miss a week, right? And you follow up and you make sure that you catch up on all the news stories. One thing you miss is just sort of the nuance of delivery of daily press conferences and a coach maybe answering something or not answering something, a GM in his end of training camp address answering something or not answering something. Was there a little bit of chaos, like Bears chaos from a communication perspective last week? In your opinion, Jason, because when I left, I was feeling like it's Ben Johnson's ship, it's Ben Johnson's game entirely. Does it still feel that way, or were there some cracks in that foundation to your perspective last week at all?
I don't think that there was. What specifically are you thinking of that makes you wonder that?
I was told that Ben answered a Jalen Johnson question by saying you got to ask Ryan that. They got to ask Ryan, which, and that's a little weird, frankly.
I think it would have been if not for the fact that Ryan Poles was going to talk right after him or later that afternoon or something. If it had been that Ryan Poles wasn't scheduled to talk at all or was going to talk another day, then I think you could make more of that. But I think, you know, Ben Johnson got thrown a question that he didn't have to answer. And his boss was going to be coming in a minute, so that guy can answer it.
Okay, good. And then, so in terms of closing roster decisions and some of the cuts and some of the keeps and the moves, does it all feel like Ben is indeed the godhead of the football department, which it had felt like before I left?
It does to me, and it also, that isn't a negative on Ryan Poles.
Agreed.
That isn't Ryan Poles surrendering and saying, well, Ben Johnson, you know, I can't do it, so Ben has to. If you're the GM, you should be building, you should be tailoring the roster to what your head coach wants. And that is something we're going to have to watch over the next few years, because as much as this roster talent-wise appears to be built out, is it built out to Ben Johnson's specifications? That can't usually be done in one offseason, and it certainly wasn't done here in one offseason. He has enough to work with, Ben Johnson does, talent-wise, but he doesn't have all the specific pieces that he would ask for if he was making his checklist.
What's the latest on Jalen Johnson?
Jalen Johnson talked today, and he left things pretty ambiguous about whether he'll be ready for Monday. If I had to guess, I would guess that he will, but we're not going to get clarity on that. I don't picture getting even a little bit of clarity on that until Saturday at the earliest, because the Bears don't have to put out an injury report till Thursday. They're not practicing Thursday, so that's just going to be an estimation by the staff. And, you know, Jalen Johnson really doesn't need to be a full participant in practice until Saturday anyway. So I think it's going to take a while to find that out. And it's really bad timing. I mean, most NFL teams have at least one really good receiver, but this is supposed to be the beginning of Jalen Johnson traveling with the opponent's best receiver, something he has wanted 6 years. The entire time he's been here, he's wanted, and they haven't done it. Now they're probably going to be doing that with Dennis Allen. And you have this problem coming to town in Justin Jefferson, who is pretty much unsolvable for the entire league. He's arguably the best in the league. I would say he is the best in the league at his position. And the solution you could throw at that pretty simply and effectively is Jalen Johnson. Let's just stick Jalen Johnson on that problem, and he can handle that as well as probably any corner in the league. If you don't have Jalen Johnson available, or you maybe don't have full strength, full endurance, full game Jalen Johnson available, they've got depth at corner, but, I mean, nobody that they have at corner is as good as him.
I've mentioned this to you, Jason, and Speaks and I have talked about it in a couple different segments. There seem to be a lot of people that want Caleb Williams to fail. And I don't mean Packers fans, Lions fans, Vikings fans. Like, obviously, they would want him to. But there does seem to be a bunch of people that are like, man, can't wait to tell you that this guy's not good. Does he hear that stuff?
Yes. Most of it is entertainment for him. Most of it he finds funny, and him and his teammates will laugh about it in the locker room. When I go into a press conference, I think, with anybody, I think, okay, what are two or three great questions I can ask here? Because you got to share the room. You're only going to get, you know, 8 minutes with whoever's talking. You got to have two or three really great questions. When I have a one-on-one interview with somebody, like I've had recently with Caleb Williams and Ben Johnson, the mentality is not about great questions. It's more about, what is the great conversation I could have with this person? What is the interesting conversation that I want to have with this person? And then how am I going to be able to write that and give that to everybody to read? And I think the conversation I wanted to have with Caleb Williams is along the lines of something that you and I have talked about a lot of times off air. And I think you've mentioned repeatedly on the show, Lawrence, why do you think everybody has such a problem with you? And by everyone, I mean nationally. There is, to me, from my perspective, resounding support for Caleb locally. Everybody, after Trubisky and Fields and everything, everybody is behind him. I mean, look at how he weathered the Seth Wickersham book controversy. That's the kind of support and approval rating he has locally right now. But everywhere else, man, are they, and this goes back to USC, you know, when he was painting his nails to begin with and crying after a loss, everyone just seems so happy to see him fail. And I wanted to know what he thought about that. And I wanted to know, do you think that as part of that, people get distracted by all the uniqueness and eccentricities that you have, and they don't take you seriously? They don't treat you, they don't think about you as a serious, hardworking quarterback, young player, the way they look at Jaden Daniels or even Drake May or J.J. McCarthy, who didn't even play last year. And from there, you know, how hard do you think you work now that you're in year two? Because I always make the analogy. I made this analogy actually when I talked to Caleb. You know, when I went to college, my freshman year in class, I thought I was working hard and I wasn't getting results that I wanted to grades-wise. Sophomore year, then I was actually working hard. Then I saw, oh, this is what working hard in class at college really looks like. And I think Caleb Williams has had a similar epiphany this year of he thought he was working really hard last year and he thought he was doing the right thing so many times. It's hard enough to make it in the NFL, let alone when you're not getting clarity about whether you're doing things the right way or doing things to the extent and the level that they need to be. He's getting all that clarity now. And this is a guy who has so much ambition and so much desire to get the correction and the clarity and to know how hard he needs to be working and in what ways, that I think now he feels like so much more confident in knowing what he's doing Monday through Saturday.
It's good stuff. You know, it's interesting. I keep remembering something that Caleb said last year as he was learning from Shane Waldron in camp and everything like that. And he was asked what he valued from the coaches, and he said, grace. The fact that they give me grace sometimes as he's learning. And now we're a year past that, and we know what a sham some of their teaching was. Is he getting grace from Ben Johnson? Or just the tough stuff from Ben Johnson? What is your take on the personality mix? Because the truth without empathy can be brutality in a relationship.
It's so true. And this is one of the questions I asked Ben Johnson. The conversation I wanted to have with him was about his bluntness, both publicly and behind the scenes. And, you know, you hear all of these players talk about how hard he is on them about errors. And you've seen it on the practice field where he'll yank the first team or yank a player or stop practice. And or at the end of practice, it's a pretty fiery speech about things that didn't go well. And you wonder, how could you be like that 24/7 at 100 all the time and not have everybody hate working with you? And he said exactly what you are, the point you are making, Matt, is that there's got to be the relationship. You can't be afraid of confrontation, but these guys have to know that you really care about what they care about, that they want to be great and you want them to be great. You want to bring out the best version of them that they've ever been. And if they believe that, and also if you have positive reinforcement of when things are good, when it looks right, you make sure that you don't skip past that any more so than you would skip past a mistake. When there's balance to your feedback and there is this trust and understanding, say for Caleb Williams or anybody else, but say for Caleb Williams, that Ben Johnson wants to take you to where you have been trying to go since you are 9 years old as a football player, then the feedback, the critiques don't feel like an attack. They just feel like the information that you needed to hear in order to improve.
Jason, as always, we appreciate you. The profile on Caleb Williams is magnificent. Thanks so much for joining us today.
Thanks for the story idea.
You're welcome.
Oh, look at that.
You're a good thinker.
Oh. I try.
Good man and thorough.
I try to be.
Yeah.
And so is Jason.
Yeah, well, you guys have a thing. Yeah. Love.
He's like legitimately one of my best friends.
Man. Really,
I trust
nice.
Him implicitly.
Has he been in the Blackmobile?
No, he hasn't.
Oh, yeah, baby. One up on Leisure. Spiegel 1, Leisure 0. Not only have I been in the Blackmobile that Lawrence Holmes owns, we took the Black Cave. We drove down the Black Cave together.
I think it's just called the Bat Cave.
The Bat Cave?
Yeah.
Yeah, whatever.
It's not really the car can be the Blackmobile, but yes. That's the Bat Cave.
So even the whites are allowed in the Bat Cave.
Well, I mean, they started it.
They really did.
Yeah, it's Mayor Daley's
yeah,
thing.
Right.
So
yeah, it's still one of the coolest things ever. That was my first time on it. Was with you.
Yeah,
in the Blackmobile.
How about that?
I mean, and I've told so many people about that. They're like, "What? There's a secret passageway?"
Yeah, thanks for keeping it secret.
Well, I mean, I didn't tell them where it was or how. Yeah, I did actually. And I told them everything about it. You're right. Good point. But it still takes that little bit of courage to say, you know what? I don't know exactly where this is going to let out, but I'm going. I'm doing it. That's right. It's like seeing the hole that the offensive line is creating when you're a running back.
Yes.
But you can't really see the finish, but you're like, you got to learn to trust that if you take that cutback, then green pastures will be awaiting.
Leisure's been to both of my houses.
See? I don't think I've been to either.
And I've been to his.
I certainly haven't been to Jason's. All right.
You don't want that trip.
Leisure won. Spiegel won. We're back. We're tied. Well, I'll work on it.
We need to take a break. When we come back, let's talk about Ben Johnson, head coach. Speaks has got some thoughts about seeing what this looks like. And what if I told you?
What if I told you?
In a world that a division rival might give us a window into what this first year might be like for Ben Johnson.
Is it a division rival that Ben likes to egg on?
It is.
Oh, that's perfect.
We'll share that with you next here on The Score.
I drank a beer. I drank another beer. Three beers. Four beers.
Oh, no.
Five beers.
Oh, no.
Six beers. Seven beers. Eight beers. Nine beers. And a Bloody Mary.
It's the truth. We are so happy to welcome Josh Grubbs and Black Lung Brewing to the family here at The Score. Just opened his third tap room in Grays Lake. They got a shirt.
That's a really cool shirt.
It's a dope shirt.
Their art is outstanding. I remember that dude came to the wall in Gurnee when we did a remote there last year, and he was awesomely cool, and they were giving out beers over there. But like, the art was great, the beers were great, and that's very cool that Josh and Black Lung Brewing are now part of the Score family.
It's funny, I saw the shirt outside and I was like, man, I love all these colors. I love what's going on here.
There's a lot going on.
So shout out to Josh and to Black Lung Brewing.
I don't have anything in that color scheme.
Here.
Thanks for asking.
Here.
Oh, all right. I thought maybe you'd like to give it to Jason Leisure.
Wow.
But you know, I'll take it.
You're a very weird man.
I just, you know.
Speaks two, Jason Leisure one.
Yeah, thank you.
Yeah, now he's got a shirt.
Run it up on him, Speaks. Run it up. Leave no doubt.
That's right. I'll be the Steve Spurrier of the partner versus friend competition business. Is that a business? Not really.
Only in your mind.
The business is booming.
Like the Wi-Fi. It's booming.
It really is.
So I was listening to some stuff that I wanted to bring to your attention.
Okay.
Because I don't know if it matters or not for Ben Johnson. And obviously, whenever you listen to a coach from the division, you're like, hey, this could be interesting. I was listening to the Pivot podcast. I'm a big fan of that pod. And they talked with Mike Tomlin, and that conversation was amazing. Aaron Rodgers turned it down, by the way, because he and Ryan Clark have been feuding. I love Ryan's response. It's like, I actually kind of respect him for doing it.
That's good. That's too bad. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is going to talk a lot about the Fountainhead or something like that, you know? I think we're all good on
or Portishead. Yeah. Whatever he wants to talk about is totally fine.
Nobody loves me.
There it
is. It's true.
So Matt LaFleur was on The Pivot.
Matt LaFleur, who has a little something coming from Ben Johnson. Just ask Ben Johnson
right
about that.
Ben has been very much trying to poke the bear.
Oh, yes.
I kind of enjoyed beating Matt LaFleur twice a year.
He wants to poke the Packer is what he wants.
He does.
And I'm down with that.
He does. Here's what Matt LaFleur said about being a first-year head coach who is also a play caller.
When you come into a situation, I don't think many people knew who I was. I mean, it's not like we were breaking records when I was the 1 year's play calling OC in Tennessee. I think a lot of people were surprised that they chose me to come coach his team. And so, yeah, you're absolutely working with, especially when you have an established team, you got a more veteran team. Mm-hmm. You're going to allow them to do some of the things that they're comfortable with, that they've had success with, if it makes sense. Mm-hmm. And a lot of it did. So, I mean, you're just trying to work with, and I can tell you this, the playbook we came in with and the playbook we ended with were drastically different.
Right.
But it was a process, and the first year was definitely learning each other. And the second year, that offseason, we spent a lot of time kind of dissecting and going through everything and kind of creating our own version of what we wanted to become. Then the transition to Jordan, and just not even him, it's just the whole team was a lot younger. There was a transition period and a learning period that came with that experience as well. But certainly you better stand on some principles and try to teach those guys the why behind what you're trying to get done.
So it sparked my brain at the same exact point where you went,
Speaks. Yeah.
The idea of walking in with one idea and then being like, I can't do the stuff that I want to do. So I have to adjust to who it is that I have as my quarterback or my roster or what the team is capable of doing with the concepts that we have on offense.
I would argue it's the most compelling moment of Ben Johnson's training camp is when he moved the goalposts, was the first way that we took it. And then we all heard it a little deeper, and he kind of contextualized what I think LaFleur is talking about, which is the process of figuring out, okay, what I did in Detroit in year three or year four is not going to work in year one with Chicago, you know? And just understanding that and learning that about yourself is one thing, but then having the facility, being facile enough to make the adjustments. Clearly, LaFleur was. I have faith that Ben Johnson is facile enough to make some adjustments and simplify a bit. I think that's what's happening.
And you can also read into the part where he's talking about Jordan Love, where you go from Aaron Rodgers to Jordan Love. Now, I'm not going to put Jared Goff in the same category, but as far as veteran quarterback who's been to a Super Bowl, to second-year starter, who's trying to figure it all out. I think there's enough of a parallel there.
Oh, I think so, because he was going from Rodgers to Love, like Goff to Caleb.
Yeah, but I mean, like, you know, Rodgers is a virtuoso. Like, he's, you know what I mean? Like, he's a virtuoso at the position.
Of course, but yes. What you're talking about, and somebody who can control everything from the line of scrimmage and know what he's doing and change plays and call out coverages and blitz packages, as opposed to somebody who needs the help of the center drastically. Drew Dahlman talked about that a lot this week, and we'll get to it. We're going to talk to Olin on Thursday in person, in studio. I cannot wait for that, because there's so much interesting X's and O's stuff, and Dahlman spoke about the relationship between he and Caleb and what they have to do. It is a completely different thing to adjust to year one of a guy like this.
There's a couple other things, too, that you should hear. This was Matt LaFleur, because this is my biggest concern and my biggest worry, and I was listening to this. I was like, okay, I want to try and get as much information on it as I can. The idea of being the guy who's calling the plays versus the guy that has all of the responsibilities.
I personally think there's a lot of advantages to it. It's just, how do you divvy your time up throughout the course of the day and the course of the week? I think that's always interesting. And that those are the conversations that I have with like guys like Sean and Kyle and other guys that are just totally immersed in calling plays. I think a lot of the clock management situations come a little bit more natural for offensive guys than no offense to the defensive guys.
Don't take a shot at defense, but, coach.
I think it's part of it, especially playing the quarterback position my whole life, you know, from high school to college. Yeah. I mean, there's a lot that you're always thinking about in those moments. So and then I got a guy that upstairs that helps me, Connor Lewis, and some of those high stress moments, and he does a great job with that. But basically, the bottom line, there's always going to be criticism, especially when it doesn't go your way. That's why I don't like to listen to a lot of outside noise. I like to just know in my heart that I feel like our process is right, and you just dive into your process, and you're constantly evaluating your process, but you can't allow that outside noise to affect what you do.
Look, this is the dream. The way that Matt LaFleur owns the entire process and can call all the shots and then delegate and clean things up so he can be the best version of himself in a game week and on game day, that's always been the dream. you know, and we've rationalized whatever we ended up with for years. I'm guilty of that rationalization. I know tons of Bears fans are too. Like, well, at least we got a defensive guy, or at least we got an offensive guy who, you know, it can do some of this stuff or whatever. You all want the Bill Walsh. You all want the Andy Reid. The dream is that we might have that guy. It feels most possible right now than it frankly ever has as a Bears fan, that you have that guy. And he's got a long way to go. He's got a long way to go and a lot of things to figure out. But I'm impressed so far, and you want him to get to where LaFleur is.
Absolutely. Like, all of those guys, especially from that tree, you would love for them, love for Ben Johnson to get to where those guys are, because it's fascinating seeing that jump. It's the other thing that LaFleur said that kind of perked my ears when I heard it was him talking about gut versus analytics. And so he says that he's more gut than analytics, but he wants all of that information, because that's what educates your gut feeling on what to do. You take all of that stuff into account, mm-hmm. and then you say, okay, here's, I know that we can go for it, or I know we shouldn't go for it, because even though the numbers say that we should go for it, my guys on the left side of the line are really banged up, and the play call that we would use in this particular situation might not work because, like, some of that stuff. You're putting all the information into your gut and then making a decision.
Yeah, I mean, that's ideally what you want coaching to be. It's ideally, I mean, I think about being a poker player, you know, at your best as a poker player, you got all the math and you got all the analytics and you got all the tendencies, and then you're trusting yourself based on the read of the humans that you have. There's so much reasons to be excited about this. Yeah, man. Sing it, Philip.
The reasons to be excited.
What other show gives you Portishead and Earth, Wind, and Fire in the same 20 minutes? What other sports show? Let me start there.
You ever heard David sing? See, there you go.
No, I haven't.
See?
I haven't.
I have.
It's game week, they said this morning.
Yeah, what other shows giving you guys the show we got on Thursday? We got Olin, we got Wani, we got Troy Aikman, and we just added someone to Thursday's show.
Did you really?
That I'm particularly excited about.
What? Who? You're talking about, by the way, this Thursday from 2 to 6 p.m. It's a Spiegel and Holmes football season kickoff in the Blue Cross Blue Shield performance stage. We'll have Dave Wanstead and Olin Krutz in studio with us, plus much more. Who's the much more?
Oh. A cast member from The Sopranos. Not in person, but...
Wait, what?
Steve Sciarrapo coming on.
Ah!
No way! Coming on Thursday,
Come on!
You gotta be bleeping me.
I thought it was Edie Falco. Wow! That's cool. It's your guy.
It is my guy. Yeah.
Oh.
They're doing a show this weekend in Chicago here. We'll have all information for you, but yeah, it's gonna be a great time.
All right. I'm down.
That's amazing. That's Tune In Thursday, starting at 2 on The Score and the Odyssey app. It's all brought to you by PNC Bank, your local Ford dealers and Blue Cross Blue Shield of Illinois, through it all.
Do you know how jealous Carmen is going to be that she's not on that show now? Because she's queen of the mob wives. So, like, that is like her thing. She's going to be very jealous that she's not here for that. But we'll be here, and you'll be here. And shout out to the listener, and I forgot your name, but someone hit us up inside the mob.
Matt Spiegel.
It wasn't Matt Spiegel. If someone inside the mob said that they won tickets and they're so excited to come by on Thursday. And I just think that's very nice. I'm very nice.
That's cool.
I'm glad that they're going to be here for that.
That's outstanding. I'm looking forward to that show very much.
Troy Aikman's going to be on the show.
Troy Aikman's going to be on the show.
I've been watching that Cowboys doc,
man. You got thoughts for Troy. You could do a couple hours with Troy just on that show.
Man, it's so good. It's really good. Anyway, we do need to kind of talk a little bit about the Cowboys, because the two of us, actually the four of us, haven't really had a chance to talk about the Micah Parsons thing. So why don't we do that? The impact that it has on the Bears, the impact that it has on the NFC. Let's discuss Micah Parsons being a Packer next here on The Score.
Spiegel and Holmes.
Good vibes, baby.
Afternoons on The Score.
The Micah Parsons news yesterday that he's dealing with a facet joint sprain and may need an epidural to play against the Lions.
That's major news in my mind. I mean, that is not like saying, well, we're going to put a heat pack on it and, you know, he's got some back spasms and he'll be okay. Yeah, big decision. So maybe Jerry, you know, I don't know. I mean, who knows? And hopefully he gets up there and he's he's a team guy. And
were you going to say maybe Jerry knew?
I almost said that. But
you almost said that.
He did know. Good job by David Haw walking Dave Wanstead into the corner that he was trying to escape there for a moment.
Let's not give Jerry credit for that while also having Jerry say, we offered Micah more guaranteed money than the Packers did.
Yeah, that's
Michael.
That's right. And Michael. Right.
That story just came out. Don Van Natta with a deep, in-depth story on ESPN.com along with Jeremy Fowler and how it all went down.
To Michael.
Micah.
And remember that.
Good job, Steven.
Van Natta has a deep experience being embedded in the Jerry Jones camp. He wrote that famous story from several years ago about all the Johnny Walker blue that was everywhere in Jerry's life. But yeah, so supposedly there was more money or whatever. But we haven't even been together as a show, as a four-pack, since the Packers got the best defensive player in football.
I was scrambling in Flagstaff to do a pod on it. I was like, how am I going to do this? Because all I had was my phone. And I'm like, how am I going to, is there a FedEx Kinko's around here somewhere that I can
post
it? That
would have a microphone?
No, I wanted to be able to post it. So I was like uploading and downloading and all this other stuff. It was crazy.
Oh, that's hilarious.
Yeah, because I figured like you're sitting there going, really? Really? This is happening? It was Friday, right? Wasn't it Friday afternoon when all this stuff went down? Thursday afternoon when all of it went down.
So you weren't on the air Friday. I was knee-deep in the vacation, and I embraced the idea that the world can survive without my opinions for a week.
But only a week.
And it took me years to get there, Lauren. It took me a long, long time to get there to this place where I think the world can survive without my opinions. I give it to you now. God dang it, this is the best division in football now. Mm-hmm. And it's downright scary to think of a defense that was already good with a really good edge rusher in Rashawn Gary.
Who made the Pro Bowl last year.
Who now has
a partner.
And not just a partner, but like a one-man pocket wrecker.
A top 10 player in the league.
And how the Packers did that, and I understand the time frame and the why. They're paying the quarterback to win now. Whether he's good enough or not is an open question. But their time frame, their time horizon is, let's win right the hell now. So they've got all this money locked up in Parsons and Jordan Love together, which means the rest of the roster might get a little hinky in the coming years. But this is their moment to go for it. And if you're a Packer fan, you freaking love the move. And if you're a Bears fan, you're scared for Caleb Williams' well-being.
Correct, because the Bears don't have what position on the offensive line solved yet?
Left tackle.
And that's a place where you could see Micah Parsons being like, oh, I got this. I'll play over here for the two games that you're going to play against him. The other thing is that Jeff Hafley, the defense coordinator in Green Bay, press man defense. It's exactly the type of player that you want to help you with that. Now that you've got Rashard Gary and now you've got Micah Parsons, those two guys, you can do that with those two. You can line him up anywhere that you want and have him get after. He also takes the ball away from quarterbacks when he gets there. It's a big move, and it's been, 30 years since Green Bay has made a move like this, or over 30 years. We talk about Reggie White. For them to do this, I think you're right, Speaks. I think it speaks to them being Goody, as he is called by LaFleur, Goody getting aggressive and saying, let's go right now.
Even though
this division is tough, even though we have to deal with Dan Campbell, even though we have to deal with KOC, even though we have to deal with Caleb Williams, let's go.
Yeah, go right the hell now. The Dallas perspective on it, like the whole thing just has felt so disingenuous because Jerry Jones is not really interested in building a winner.
It doesn't seem like it.
He's just not. He's interested in being the Cowboys and the Cowboys being what they are and having his plaything and all of that. He won right at the beginning, right from the get-go, he won. And since then, he's just really been trying to build this thing out and have himself a good time.
And he's winning in that regard.
Yeah,
they are still
is.
The number one story in the NFL, no matter how mid of a football product it is. The other stuff around it matters, seemingly matters more. And the shocking thing about this is that we're used to it. We saw him do this with Dak Prescott and CeeDee Lamb, where it's, we'll wait until week one, and then we'll give them everything that they had already asked for.
And most people thought it was going to go that way again.
I sure did. I thought that they would get to week one, they have the deal announced as he's being introduced for the first game of the season.
So does this injury or this condition and the reveal of the condition of having to take an epidural, which I think all women should do and not worry about if you need to. Don't beat yourself up about that, folks. If you're having a kid and you need an epidural, just go ahead. It's
if you want
right.
to.
Sure.
Your body, your choice.
But even if you don't want to and like halfway through, they're like, you know what, you should. Go ahead, right?
Just yeah, for all those expectant mothers out there listening, we know this is why you tune into us. To hear
the birthing advice of Matt Spiegel.
That's right, Danny. That's right. And don't let everybody into the room either, as long as we're talking. Are we talking?
We're not. Oh. Paul Konerko used to deal with stuff like that. That's probably a little bit more our purview to talk about it through the lens of Paul Konerko getting those with his bad back.
Oh, with his back.
Of,
oh, it's an injury issue.
Yeah.
Oh, sure. Yeah, we talk about that.
He wasn't pregnant. No.
Sports injuries.
Yes.
Sure.
Correct.
No. That's a good redirect by you.
I do my best.
Yeah, thanks, man.
I'm out here trying to help.
But, like, the reveal of that. The reveal of that makes you think, whoa, two first-round picks and Kenny Clark. It's not so bad.
Yeah. And that's how you get a 16,000-square-foot house in Scottsdale.
It is.
And a healthy baby boy. Congratulations to the Konerko family.
Unbelievable. Why don't we talk
about anything else?
Anything else, but why don't we talk with a, you know, former Packer about this move?
Oh, dude. And I've been so excited for this conversation with Matt Bowen from a Ben Johnson perspective. I got some very specific Ben Johnson points that I can't wait to ask Matt Bowen about.
Great. We'll pull him off the practice field and talk with him about the Bears, the Packers, and the NFL overall. Matt Bowen is next on The Score.